Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Rajastamobhyam akshiptam vimudham mana atmanaha yatschedharanaya dhiro pantiyatakritam malam rajaha. The passionate mode of nature. Dhammobhyam, as well as by the ignorant mode of material nature. Akshiptam, agitated. Vimudham, bewildered. Manaha, the mind. Atmanaha, of one's own. Yatschet, get it rectified. Paranaya, by conception of Vishnu. Dhiraha, the pacified. Hanti, destroys. Ya, all those. Tat pritam, done by them. Malam, dirty things. One's mind is always agitated by the passionate mode of material nature and bewildered by the ignorant mode of nature. But one can rectify such conceptions by the relation of Vishnu, and thus become pacified by cleansing the dirty things created by them. Purport. Persons generally conducted by the modes of passionate ignorance cannot be bona fide candidates for being situated in the transcendental stage of God realization. Only persons conducted by the mode of goodness can have the knowledge of the supreme truth. Effects of the modes of passion and ignorance are manifested by too much hankering after wealth and women. And those who are too much after wealth and women can rectify their leanings only by constant remembrance of Vishnu in his potential impersonal feature. And those who are too much after wealth and women can rectify their leanings only by constant remembrance of Vishnu in his potential impersonal feature. I wonder what that means. Potential impersonal feature. Generally, the impersonalists or monists are influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. Such impersonalists think of themselves as liberated souls, but they have no knowledge of the transcendental personal feature of the Absolute Truth. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that after many hundreds of births, Bahonam Jamanam Ante, I'm sure that's what Prabhupada's referring to, the impersonal philosopher surrenders under the personality of Godhead. To acquire such a qualification of God realization in the personal feature, the neophyte Impersonalist is given a chance to realize the relation of the Lord in everything by the philosophy of pantheism. Pantheism in its higher status does not permit the student to form an impersonal conception of the absolute truth, but it extends the conception of the absolute truth into the field of the so-called material energy. Everything created by the material energy can be dovetailed with the absolute by an attitude of service, which is the essential part of living energy. The pure devotee of the Lord knows the art of converting everything into its spiritual existence by this service attitude. And only in that devotional way can the theory of pantheism be perfected. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurude Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stampitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tadati Swapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vacharam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Pantheism, the doctrine that God is the transcendent reality of which the material universe and human beings are only manifestations. It involves a denial of God's personality and expresses a tendency to identify God and nature. Interesting. Right, so generally speaking, people are under the influence of the modes of material nature. Is that right? And Prabhupada says here that a number of statements in this purport. One very, very strong statement right at the beginning. Only persons conducted by the mode of goodness can have the knowledge of the supreme truth. Right? So, what does that mean about most people? If everybody's conducted by the modes of passion and ignorance in this day and age, what does that mean? Yeah. Yep, I had a dream about you last night, Gana, actually. I was honoured that you appeared in my dream. We'd driven from Queensland to Perth in a day. Anyways, it was an odd dream. Speaking of being bewildered by the modes of passion and ignorance, but it's good that there were some devotees there. And as a result of being bewildered, what does that mean about their understanding of the absolute?
They don't have any.
Yeah, that's right. They don't have any understanding. Conducted by the modes of passion and ignorance, most people don't believe that God exists. They don't have a conception. It's too hard for them to conceive of a transcendent personality of Godhead, because their absorption is in things of the material realm, material forms, material manifestations. And so when they think of God, then they can only think of a being in those terms. Anything beyond sense perception or mental or intellectual creation doesn't exist. Can't exist. Because you can't experience it. And so, at least with their senses, material senses. And as Prabhupada points out here, that the elevated, the most elevated concept of God that they can come to is one wherein they see the whole creation, the material creation anyway, that which they experience as being God. This idea of pantheism. God is everything. Everything is God. Of course, we can then arrive at the conclusion that I'm God also, as a result of that kind of reasoning or logic. It's an impersonal conception rather than a personal conception. So, the mode of goodness, Prabhupada says that Krishna consciousness is essential for elevation above the modes of passion and ignorance. If one wants to come to the mode of goodness, then one has to follow the practice of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness then will automatically elevate us to the mode of goodness. We're not actually interested in the mode of goodness. We're interested in Krishna. The mode of goodness is essential to understand Krishna consciousness, but we practice Krishna consciousness rather than practice, the mode of goodness. Krishna consciousness is what we're interested in. And then automatically one will cultivate action and thought and speech in the mode of goodness, because the rules and regulations, we start off following the process of devotional service by following the rules and regulations under the guidance of a spiritual master or spiritual teacher. And so what does that mean? That means get up early in the morning, mode of goodness. Clean your teeth. Go to the bathroom. Have a shower. Put on fresh clothes. Put your tilak on. Remember Krishna. Right? That's why we put the tilak on, so we can remember Krishna. All of these activities are Krishna conscious, but they're also automatically in the mode of goodness. Worship the deity. Chant Hare Krishna in the Brahma Muhurta. Study the scripture. Follow the rules and regulations. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. It automatically puts one in the mode of goodness. Even the most passionate person or the most ignorant person, by simply engaging in the regulated principles of devotional service, is elevated to the mode of goodness, whether they like it or not. Actually, mostly we don't like it. In the beginning, we were discussing last night in Point Cook with the Bhakti Vritcha program there. What is happiness? Huh? What is happiness? Happiness is governed by the three modes of material nature. And happiness in the mode of goodness is characterized by what? Yeah, poison in the beginning. Waking up early. And you walk around still half asleep. Until one becomes practiced at it. Huh? I mentioned this before, I used to go to Mongol Arctic and we'd sit down for the stringer prayers, and as soon as you sit down, fall asleep. Sometimes in the Tulsi prayers, you'd be saying the Tulsi prayers and everybody else is standing up and you're still paying your obeisances. And you realise, everybody's standing up. Huh? So it's poison in the beginning, really hard in the beginning. But once one becomes, accustomed to the practice, then it becomes second nature. That's the mode of goodness. So even mode of passion, or persons influenced by the mode of passion or the mode of ignorance, engaged in the practice of devotional service, automatically we're on the path of developing the mode of goodness. Brahminical qualities automatically manifest. And knowledge, as a result, manifests. Purification. Freedom from this malam. Hantiya tat kritam malam. Connecting everything. And really, this is what Krishna consciousness does. Krishna consciousness connects everything with Krishna. Or here it said, dharanaya, by conception, or dharana means basically meditation, right? Dharanaya, dhira. Yatschet dharanaya dhira. The pacifier. Dhira, in this case, means one who's pacified. Dhira means sober, serious, steady. This is the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is characterized by these qualities. Dhira is a description of one in the mode of goodness. One who's steady. Or here, one who's pacified. By meditating on dharanaya, on Lord Vishnu. So one who follows the regulated principles of devotional service becomes pacified, purified, cleansed. Hanti ya tat kritam malam. The practice of meditating on Krishna, chanting 16 rounds. How hard is it every morning to get up? In the beginning, it becomes easier. But to keep the mind focused on chanting 16 rounds every day. In the beginning, it's so hard. Even in the middle, it's hard. Maybe even at the end, it's hard. Keeping the mind focused. But if we keep practice at doing that, this activity, especially the activity of chanting Hare Krishna, like poison in the beginning, but like nectar in the end. Activities in the mode of passion are like nectar in the beginning, but poison at the end. And what's this? What's the example that Prabhupada gives of that? What that characterizes this mode of passion?
The boy and the girl, young boy and girl, they are attracted to each other.
Yeah.
But later, their lusty desires develop. Then they mix together. Then later, they are separated. So that.
Yeah, Prabhupada gives the example of a boy and a girl. They're attracted to each other in the beginning. Right? It was interesting, last night I was asking the devotees, you know, what's the example? And nobody could think of the example. I said, of a boy and a girl, they get together and first it's very nice, right, to be with others. Then what happens? And then I asked one of the little boys, put his hand up. I said, what? And he said, they start fighting. Everybody just started laughing. Right? They start fighting. So mode of passion means fun in the beginning, misery at the end. And mode of ignorance means miserable in the beginning and miserable in the end. Huh? This is happiness in the mode of ignorance. You know, getting drunk, or already being drunk and then drinking some more and thinking, yeah, I'm having a good time. Or, you know, as my friends would say to me, we had such a great time last night, I can't remember anything that I did. Yeah? So this is the mode of ignorance. That kind of activity, you end up in jail when you don't know what you're doing. So Prabhupada says here, effects of the mode of passion and ignorance are manifested by too much hankering after wealth and women. This is the symptom of a person who's captured by the mode of passion and ignorance. Too caught up in just materialistic activities with no capacity to understand anything of the subtle. Even the subtle material becomes difficult for a person in the mode of ignorance to conceive or perceive or to explore, because they're so covered over by the modes of material nature. So, Prabhupada says here, those who are too much after wealth and women can rectify their leanings only by constant remembrance of Vishnu. This is the practice of devotional service. This is how we become rectified. Mala means, you know, dirty things in the heart, and, you know, dirty things in our behaviours. Process of devotional service removes all of those. On the physical level and also on the subtle level, purifies those things so that eventually we can be elevated to the point of spiritual consciousness, spiritual realization, where we're able to enter into and relish and interact with the action and the reality of the spiritual realm or a spiritual existence. So Prabhupada says here, and those who are too much after wealth and women can rectify their leanings only by constant remembrance of Vishnu in his potential impersonal feature. Well, one can be benefited by the impersonal understanding of the Absolute if they're completely absorbed in material activities and have no knowledge, Prabhupada says, of devotional service. There is a benefit. Generally speaking, we don't encourage people to meditate on the impersonal, where we can get them to directly to connect to the personal. I'm not quite sure what Prabhupada means here by Vishnu in his potential impersonal feature. Anybody got any suggestions? What does Prabhupada mean by constant remembrance of Vishnu in his potential impersonal feature?
Right. Just guessing.
Guessing, speculating. Yes. Yeah, probably it is. Yeah. Okay. That is the meditation on the impersonal feature by vibrating the Om. Because within the impersonal feature, which is a manifestation of the Lord, there is purity. Right? Purification comes about as a result of that meditation. And as a result of that purification, then one is elevated to the point where one can control the mind and the senses and be elevated to the mode of goodness. And then in the mode of goodness, one can understand the personal feature. We don't worry too much about the impersonal feature, because a devotee automatically understands. What is it? Vedanti tattva vidas. What is it? Tadjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaneti sabhyate. So when we introduce the personal feature, then automatically the paramatma feature, the brahman feature, all of aspects of the Lord are understood, realized. Understood initially in an intellectual fashion, but as we advance in the practice of devotional service, then our appreciation of these different features broadens and expands into a deeper understanding of all of the relationships between these various features of the Brahman. Brahman, Paramatma, then Parabrahman, the Bhagavan aspect. So, you know, one can be elevated by this vibration of the Omkara to this point of the mode of goodness, so that one can then be further elevated to the point of understanding the personal feature. But in Krishna consciousness, we just take people directly. We don't take them through this indirect process. The process of, and especially in the Kali Yuga, the direct process of purification is to chant Hare Krishna. Automatically, Omkar and all of the other names and forms and manifestations of the Lord are realized through the, you know, through the chanting of the primeval form, manifest in the name of Krishna, or in the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We automatically get, you know, we get a, it's like getting, it's, you get a bargain with the lot in chanting Hare Krishna. Automatically, all the other forms of the Lord are manifest in the name of Rama and Krishna. So, Prabhupada makes an interesting comment here, though. Generally, the impersonalists or monists are influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. Well, why is that? How are the impersonalists and monists influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance? Yeah, but that's not the answer I'm looking for. Yes, in it for themselves. They have a personal motivation for liberation or to become one with God, and so therefore to be as good as God, as big as God, as supreme, as the Supreme. They think of themselves as liberated souls, but they have no knowledge of the transcendental personal feature. Actually, they are impure in heart on account of being devoid of knowledge of the personal feature. But after many, many births, Bhavunam, Janmanam Mante, Gyanavam Mam Prapajate, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Samahatma Sudulabaha. Very rare. The impersonal philosopher becomes pure. So, you know, we circumvent, we take a shortcut when we chant Hare Krishna. Right? We don't have to go through many, many births of meditation on the impersonal feature. This is how fortunate we are with the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. None of this, having to wait for many, many births of pious activities to be elevated to the point of monist realization or impersonalist realization, and then still have to go through many, many births of purification. Just see how fortunate we are. We get, after many, many births of animal species and plant species and fish species and reptile species, aquatic species, 8,400,000 species, we get an opportunity in a human form of life to just go straight back home, back to Godhead by chanting Hare Krishna. You know, I always used to think, how come we're so fortunate? Because we've lived such inauspicious
lives, in one sense, to be born in the Kali Yuga, but then get an opportunity to engage in devotional service is great mercy, to chant Hare Krishna. To get a taste for chanting Hare Krishna is such great good fortune, because that practice can take us right to the top. You know, Prabhupada says there's the gradual, through the yoga process and the meditation and so forth, one can gradually, it's like walking up the staircase to get to the top of the Eureka building. After an hour or so, you can get there, walking up each of the stairs to get to the top. But the easy method is just to press the button on the lift, hop in the lift and say, go to the top floor, and then in about 2 minutes you're there. So the chanting of Hare Krishna is like that. It is a fast track, assuming we do it properly. It has to be done properly. Because, you know, if it's not done properly, then, you know, even after many, many births of chanting Hare Krishna, we don't go back home, back to Godhead. Isn't it? What's the last offence? To maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. Last one. So one has to learn how to chant Hare Krishna. It's a science. We have to learn how to chant Hare Krishna properly. Otherwise, it'll be Bahunam Jamanam Ante for us as well. No? Being gradually purified, gradually, gradually, gradually. But if we learn how to chant Hare Krishna properly, with the right mood and mentality, with the right attitude, then we can very, very quickly become atmavit, self-realized, but also bhagavanvit. We have knowledge of the Supreme Person. To acquire such a qualification of God realization in the personal feature, the neophyte impersonalist is given a chance to realize the relation of the Lord in everything by the philosophy of pantheism, that God is everything, that everything is God. Which we can understand also by understanding the personal feature. But the Vaishnavas, even the neophyte Vaishnavas, even those in the mode of passion and ignorance who are engaged in devotional service, they're automatically elevated to this point of understanding Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Prabhupada's mercy, that we've met a messenger of the Lord who gives us the direct linking process. And by following his instructions, we automatically, by some good fortune, the good fortune being that we got the association of the devotees, by that association we are given the key to the entrance to the doorway that takes us straight to the topmost spiritual realizations, topmost spiritual planet, where we can exist in our full personal manifestation in relationship with the Lord and his devotees very, very easily. Extremely. We don't have to go through this process of purification, preliminary purification and preliminary understanding. We're automatically elevated. This is why the process of devotional service is so valuable, has to be appreciated and cherished and nourished, cultured very, very carefully, without offence. Biggest obstacle for us is the offences that we commit. So we need to be aware of what the offences are. This is why we recite the offences. Why we should study the literature provided by Srila Prabhupada on how to practice devotional service, because it's such a valuable commodity. Even to call it a commodity is a bit... It's such a valuable possession to have. The power and potency in the practice of devotional service is sufficiently potent that, as it says here, hanti yat tat kritam malam, all of the dirty things in the heart can be destroyed. This is as mentioned about the Bhagavatam. So we've got the chanting of Hare Krishna, then the Bhagavatam, the practice of devotional service itself, uttamam, transcendental, srimbatam sva kata krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantasto hi abhadrani vidunoti suritsatam. Destroys the ignorance in the heart of one who hears the topics. It does, yes. Removes the modes of passion and ignorance. Very powerful. Bhagavatam. What to speak of the holy name. So combine these things. Prabhupada has combined all of these things together. Chanting of Hare Krishna. The morning program. The evening program. Preaching. So that all of our activities are connected to Krishna. Very powerful. Pantheism in its higher status does not permit the student to form an impersonal conception of the absolute truth, but it extends the conception of the absolute truth into the field of the so-called material energy. Everything created by the material energy can be dovetailed with the absolute by an attitude of service. Idam Krishnaya idam namama. This is for Krishna, it is not for me. This is the attitude of service, which is the essential part of living energy. We're all servants. Right? We're all servants, whether we like it or not. We serve our parents, we serve the government, we serve our children. Right? Always. Right? Our husbands, our wives, we're always a servant. So the perfection of service is realized in our service to Krishna. Everyone has a connection with Krishna. Everyone, everything. And that connection or that relationship is perfected when we identify ourselves as servants of the Lord. And when we do that, then everything that we use, everything that we touch, everything that we think of, everything that we own and possess is engaged in devotional service, then it becomes purified. It's either rejected as not being offerable, right? So no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, basically. But then all of the activities that we, and you know, no frivolous activities and wasteful talking. And Prabhupada says, so many piles of newspapers. Useless waste of time, Prabhupada says. These days there's no piles of newspapers. It's data. Right? Data on your iPad or iPhone or whatever. But we reject those things because it's you can't connect it to Krishna. We don't reject anasaktasya vishayan yataham upayunjitaha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagya mujjate. Those things that we can use in Krishna's service, we'll take. Enthusiastically, we'll take. And we'll engage it in Krishna service, for our own purification and for the purification of the whole of the creation. So this service, essential part of living energy. That's the essence of our being, is to be a servant. You know, in the contaminated mode of ignorance and passion, we want to be served. But, as Prabhupada says here, the pure devotee of the Lord knows the art of converting everything into its spiritual existence by this service attitude. And only in that devotional way can the theory of pantheism be perfected. So ultimately everything does come from God. And so in that sense, you know, seeing the whole creation as a manifestation of the Lord, this pantheistic attitude, is perfected in devotional service. When we see that everything in the creation ultimately belongs to Him. What is it? Isavasyam midam sarvam yatkincha jagatam jagat tena chakchena bunjita magrita kasya svittanam. The devotee recognizes that everything is owned and controlled by Krishna. And he accepts what is given to him as his quota. And that quota, then he engages in the Lord's service. And doesn't take other things, knowing to whom they belong. They may be somebody else's quota, ordained by the Lord, or it all belongs to God. That's how we should see things. Everything ultimately belongs to God, but just because somebody else has got something and it belongs to God doesn't mean that we should steal it off them and give it back to God. Right? The devotees used to do that, but they got themselves in a bit of trouble and got themselves a bad reputation, and so then people didn't. You know, it takes some purification and some honesty in people to appreciate that everything belongs to the Lord. Even the devotees sometimes have difficulty understanding that. Right? They get in Krishna's car and drive it around and don't look after it. They go, "Oh, it's Krishna's, it's all right. Krishna will look after it. Krishna will change the oil. Make sure there's petrol in the tank." And the devotees we always used to put just enough petrol in the car so that you'd be able to go out on Sankirtan and then come back to the temple. That way you didn't waste any of your collection on somebody else's travel. So the next devotee that gets in the car, they have to put the petrol in and pay for it. Huh? A lot of competition in those days for see who could collect the most. So you didn't fill the car up with petrol at the beginning of the week because somebody else would drive it and use it. Anyway, okay. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? I think we covered everything. To the best of, well, to at least part of my ability. Yes, Sri Ram.
All the Vedas and Puranas are classified with the modes of material nature.
Prabhupada mentions that.
Yeah, so Bhagavatam is the
mind of goodness.
More of goodness and the highest. And these are meant for the different classes of people.
Yeah.
Does it mean that everybody have to go through them and gradually progress?
No. Give them the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's all they need. We give them the direct linking process. This process, that process, then you can go to this one and that one. We go straight. And it cuts through everything.
So we have come in contact, like, you know, we are chanting and reading Bhagavatam.
Yeah. What do you reckon?
I don't know.
You don't know. Well, then what does that indicate? If you don't know. What is that an indication of? Ignorance. So does that give us an indication of how qualified you are after having performed so many births, studying all of these shastras? So how many births do you reckon you might have passed through to get to this point of great qualification? One or two? Five? 100?
A few billion.
I think it's safe to say that, you know, we are very fortunate. And, you know, probably haven't had a lot of opportunity to study the Vedas and you know, if we were, then we'd be in a more elevated position than we are now. At least speaking personally, it might be different. We were born in a family of meat eaters and, you know, in a society pretty much governed by the mode of passion and ignorance. And, you know, when I came to the temple, I thought I knew everything. And then I discovered that I didn't know anything. So that's a mode of passion and ignorance. So, you know, if we're... This Bahunam Jamanam Nante refers to the elevated Jnanis, but even then Prabhupada says here in this purport, the Jnanis are contaminated by the mode of passion and ignorance. Interestingly enough. So that's elevated, but still influenced by the modes of material nature. And it's only when one comes to the transcendental platform that one can really, you know, start to get free from that contamination. And even then, we see amongst the devotees, there's still that contamination in this day and age. Right? Still, the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance can predominate. And so we engage in devotional service, but at the same time, we're still concerned about how much money we're getting, or, you know, when am I going to get married, or so many things. So we're still in the stage of purification, not at the Shuddha Sattva platform. That requires quite a lot of effort, quite a lot of focus, really concentrated effort to come to the Shuddha Sattva stage of devotional service. Isn't it? So what does that indicate? That we've passed through many, many lifetimes of purification to get to this point? What do you think?
In this context, there are two viewpoints. One is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, I believe the third canto, in the conversation between Kapila Muni and Devavati, in the specific verse, it starts with Aho Bhata Swapacho Tejariya.
Yeah.
And in that verse, Devavati tells Kapila Muni that the people who have come to the point of chanting the holy names of the Lord in this lifetime have actually completed reading all the Veda Shastras, and they have fulfilled all the requirements and performed all the austerities and penances that need to be performed. So on one spectrum, you know, there is that view. On the other spectrum, in Prabhupada's Leela, if we see, then when the hippies asked Srila Prabhupada, who have now become hippies, they asked Prabhupada, what was our qualification? Prabhupada said, you don't have any high media qualification. So there are two...
My understanding of that is that they've achieved the results of performing all of those activities, but it doesn't mean necessarily that they've done all of those activities. That's my understanding of it. Right? So the reason why I made this point is because we shouldn't think, yeah, I've done all of these pious activities for so many births, and now I'm an advanced devotee. Right? That was my point. So I was putting Sri Ram on the spot a little bit. So, you know, we shouldn't think, yes, I've so many Ashtamedha Yajnas I've done. Like Maharaj Yudhisthira. Right? That's because we can see that, you know, we still have inclinations that come out in our purification that show us that we still influence somewhat by the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. And so therefore, you know, we shouldn't be complacent, thinking, yeah, now I'm chanting Hare Krishna, so I've done all of these things. And yeah, Prabhupada said, I've created your good fortune for you. So it's safer for us to see, yes, we're getting the benefit of having performed all of these activities, but by the mercy of our guru, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we've got the opportunity to reach a very elevated platform of consciousness if we stick to his instructions implicitly, explicitly, you know, carefully. We get the benefit. Does that make sense? Anything else?
One question.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, in the West, people so much addicted to all these activities, but by their so they who are in the modes of passion and ignorance. And they come meet a devotee and they transform. And in India, people born in Indian culture and good families, they can't take up devotional service. How to understand that? Rupa Goswami said that devotional service is a continual process.
Yeah.
From previous births. So how to understand?
Well, Prabhupada said that his spiritual master sent his disciples to him. So who knows what the devotees were doing in their previous births. You know, that's an interesting question. Because some people are introduced to Krishna consciousness, whether in, you know, because even in this day and age, if you go to India, then there's not a lot of difference between what's going on in India and what's going on in Melbourne, right? Nowadays. But back in those days, there was maybe a little bit more piety in India. And we see the devotees are a little, you know, they were hippies or whatever, so, you know, apparently affected by the modes of passion and ignorance significantly. But then when they met Srila Prabhupada, they just instantly took up the process of devotional service. And yet there are some people, Indian or not Indian, who are introduced to the process of devotional service but take years to be serious. Right? Yeah. Like last night, I was giving a presentation to the devotees at Point Cook, and one of the devotees said to me that many of the people have been coming together for 3 years, for a lot, this is quite a long time, every week, and was anybody there last night? No. My observation, there were quite a few devotees were just starting to chant, maybe not chanting 16 rounds, possibly not following the four regulative principles strictly, you know, consistently, I would say. Which is good, it's not bad, but, you know, over 3 years, I know when I was first preaching to the Indian community, we used to do weekly programs, and after a year I was thinking, what's wrong with these blockheads, you know? Why aren't they chanting 16 rounds? Why don't they get it? I'm not saying that's a good... That's not the right mentality to have. But then actually what I discovered was, I started thinking like that, but then, and we used to have long kirtans and Bhagavad Gita classes. And it was a lot of fun, actually. And a lot of devotees came as a result of those programs. And but then, you know, after a little while, the devotees would come to me or to Vijay Gopikesh and they'd say, you know, I'm having trouble giving up cigarettes, what do you think I should do? Or, you know, we're still eating meat at home, you know. So, it's a gradual process. And some devotees have a greater bank account of Bhajana Mukha Sukriti than others. And they're able to take up, even though they may have fallen into a, into a lower condition, apparently, by all appearances, they still had a bigger balance in their Bhajana Mukhi Sukriti bank account. Is that right? They must have. And as Prabhupada, it says, Rupa Goswami says that devotional service is a continuum from previous lifetimes. So we can understand that some of those devotees, even though they were born outside of India and born in families of non-devotees, and they didn't have any association. Once they came into the association of a pure devotee, they came in the association of Prabhupada. Or Prabhupada, some of them didn't meet Prabhupada, but they met Prabhupada's representatives. Just like people didn't meet Lord Chaitanya, but when they met the associates of Lord Chaitanya, they were infected with love of Godhead also. They didn't have to meet Lord Chaitanya directly. They met Lord Chaitanya's associates, or they met the disciples of the disciples of the disciples of Lord Chaitanya's associates, who were so enthused with Krishna consciousness that they automatically started to chant. So similarly also, the devotees met the devotees who were representing Srila Prabhupada, and then they were then able to connect to their Bhajana Mukhi Sukriti bank account and take advantage of it. Despite the fact that... So what that indicates is devotional service is not limited at all by any material obstacle. And this is what's also mentioned in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, and why Devahuti, you know, makes that statement. You're able to, you know, because Bhajana Mukhi Sukriti is not, it's pious, but it's not materially pious activities. And many of those activities recommended in the Vedas are actually simple, are not transcendental, but they're materially pious activities. But when a person has been able to accumulate Bhajana Mukhi Sukriti, which is pious, but pious from the point of view of devotional service, then when they get the association of the devotees, they again take up where they left off. And so we can understand that those persons have had some prior exposure to devotional service, because they start, you know, chant 16 rounds. Oh, okay, chant 16 rounds. So they just chant 16 rounds. Some people, you say, chant 16 rounds, and I say, oh, can I do two? And then, oh, I'm really struggling with two rounds. Huh? But there are those who just chant 16 rounds, just like that. They give up everything. So... we don't know where we came from, right? Anybody here know what birth they were in their previous lifetime? Or too embarrassed to say? No? Too modest? Huh? No. So we have to be careful because we don't know. We don't know where we came from. We don't know where others came from, but we should be respectful to all of the devotees because they're chanting Hare Krishna. And so we can understand that they must have performed some devotional service in their previous lifetime. Well, certainly at least in this lifetime. Even if it is in this lifetime, doesn't matter. Yeah. So, you know, birth in India, birth in Australia or wherever, we shouldn't, Lord Rupa Goswami says, we shouldn't judge a person, a Vaishnava, from the external appearances. So it's considered offensive, actually. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also emphasised on that point. Srila Prabhupada certainly did. You know, he's saying there's no such thing as a European Vaishnava or an American Vaishnava as opposed to an Indian Vaishnava. Huh?
In the pastime of Dhritarasura, we read that one should not see people.
Yeah, Dhritarasura. Dhritarasura was a big demon. But actually he was a devotee. Prahlad Maharaj was a demon, right? By birth, he was a demon. Oh, you demon, go away. Your father was Hiranyakashipu. We don't want to know you. But Prahlad Maharaj is famous because he's such a great devotee. If we were concerned about what family he was born in, then we'd say, how can he be a devotee? What a responsibility we have. Huh? We have such a huge responsibility to conduct ourselves properly.
He's not able to liberate himself.
The brahmanas. But we have to be careful also. Right? We shouldn't be thinking, oh, I was born in such a low family. You know, I had such a bad upbringing. It's too hard for me to become a devotee or perfect my devotional service. Or sometimes those things do become obstacles. Even with the Indian, those born in India, I was born in India, therefore I'm a better devotee. And you were born in Australia, you're not a very good devotee. Can happen. Does happen. Does happen. We're the Australian devotees, you're not really serious, you're just an Indian devotee. Vice versa, right? I was born in a lower condition, but I took to Krishna consciousness, so therefore I'm better than you. Pride, even in, pride, Krishna doesn't like pride in the devotee. But yeah, you're right. We can liberate ourselves, but that means very, very careful application of the process of devotional service and not identifying with our externals and our anattas. You know, sometimes we can become absorbed in our anattas and not get rid of them. We become too absorbed in them. I think we should finish here. Gajraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.